That's another story. Anyway,
that's a critique of software, not for this show.
I know. Well, we're back at it again. Hello, all you wonderful comics enthusiasts out there. Welcome to another edition of Bargain Issue Comics,
a podcast.
My name is Corey, and over there is Adam. And today we are bringing you part three, Trace, I guess, of our Ghost in the Shell extravaganza. Adam, what's on the slate today?
Today we're going to be talking about the Ghost in the Shell, the Human Algorithm. Are any of the other ones? I don't think any of the other ones are with the definite article at the beginning. I think all the other ones, don't they just say Ghost in the Shell?
No, I think all of these have the Ghost in the Shell, and I don't know, it's like the movies maybe don't do the Ghost in the Shell, it's just Ghost in the Shell.
Well, my Ghost in the Shell for the next one, mm-hmm. It's just Ghost in the Shell man-machine interface. This one is the one that's not by them. So let's stay on target here. So this one is not made directly by Masamune Shiro.
Correct.
Or Shiro Masamune. I don't really know which one because of the whole inversion of surnames. Sometimes they're in the front, sometimes they're in the back.
So I think it's Shiro Masamune, where Masamune is the first name. I think that's how it's written.
I honestly do not know. Because, well, let's go. But going by the book cover here, it's a story by Junichi Fujisaku.
Mm-hmm.
Art is by Yuki Yoshimoto.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on the Ghost in the Shell by Shiro Masamune. So I guess maybe only two is the one that drops the D. But going by just the artist name, Yuki Yoshimoto, mm-hmm. Yoshimoto is a pretty common last name, if I'm not mistaken.
I do not know, actually.
Because I feel like they've westernized the name order there. That is a big digression. Let's keep moving.
do you want to hit him with the boilerplate on?
Oh, I'm going to smack him upside the head with this one because we got a couple of them, actually. There are four volumes in this currently.
Mm-hmm.
We are only going today, only cover three of them.
Yes.
Because I do not have the fourth one, and the fourth one kind of starts a new arc. From what I'm told by people who have read it.
That would be me.
By person who has read it.
Literally one person has read this manga.
Yeah, as far as I know. Beyond me. We are looking at a cover price of $12.99, which is actually what I found on Amazon. You can only pretty much get it. If you're getting it new, you're not going to be getting a discount on the first one or the fourth one. I thought that was kind of interesting. But the second and the third one are both below the list price on there. And you can get these used for less. But Amazon's got 1080 or 1040 something. Can't read my own writing. Really doesn't matter. You can go on Amazon and check for yourself for the third issue. And for the second issue, it actually comes in at $11.72. I don't understand how pricing works.
I wonder, is it because like two and three are part of the same arc? And so it's like, all right, volume four, that's a new arc. We're going to charge more for it. I don't know.
But four probably because four just came out. That would be my thinking.
That's fair. I did.
I don't do publishing. If you're a publisher and you want to come in and talk to us, we won't say no. The first one came out over here in the United States. I didn't actually catch when this was made. When was this made, Corey? Did you?
I want to say 20. I think it was 2020. Hold on, let me look.
When it came out in Japan, it came out the same year in Japan that it came out in America. I don't believe it.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Like they translated this one really quickly.
That is absolutely 100% the case. They knew that Americans really are British people. I'm so Marrow-centric. Like it, but I guess that's amazing. Modern printing and publishing is brilliant. In 2020, there are 256 pages in the first volume. Second volume came out in 2021. 256 pages in that lad, Barry, Larry, Jerry. In 2022, we get 288 pages. The third one's kind of a chunky boy.
It is, but they pack a lot into it.
Oh, yeah, they did. Well, they had to bring up a lot to close on that. There's a lot going on there. They met a lot of threads tied together. That we'll get there. 2024. We just got the new one, 272 pages. So it's a hefty one as well.
Mm-hmm.
The first one had 7 chapters, second one had 9 chapters, and the third one had 10. I don't have the fourth one, so I can't tell you. These all fit nicely on your shelf together because they all come in at 5 by 0.85 by 7.5. That's going to be your standard, what I think of your standard manga size. Mm-hmm. Which is roughly the size of like a trade paperback book, a little bit bigger.
Okay.
16 plus, you're not supposed to be a little children to read this book. You need to be apparently a big adult.
I mean, it gets right to it with some of the, let's say, action.
Immediate assassination attempt. Like, jumps right into an assassination attempt. No explanation. Just let's have this person about to get killed.
Yep.
That'd be fun. That'd be a fun place to start. And you know what? It is a fun place to start.
Okay. So the first thing I want to say is when I opened this manga, when I first saw it and I saw on the cover. So the cover of volume one for everybody listening has Bato and Togusa on it, but Togusa looks nothing like he does in honestly any of the other versions I have ever seen of Ghost in the Shell.
He's younger. He seems younger. He also seems like a pretty boy.
He is, but
and Bato too. Bato's hair just makes me like.
Bato.
That's an awesome artificial hair.
I love between the different ones. Bato's, I think, hair changes the most, which is funny because sometimes he just doesn't have any. But I don't know. It's just the Togusa thing always gets me because nothing indicates that this is at a different point in the timeline. We talked in earlier episodes about the fact that Ghost of the Shell Media is very loose with his continuity. And so it's like Togusa just being aged down and nothing else being different is so strange. I don't mind it, but it was just like, unexpected.
Corey, imagine this being your first Ghost in the Shell.
It would throw me so much. But I think we talked about this earlier. It's just the fact that all of the manga are different. So there's, as far as I know, there's the original Ghost in the Shells, Masamune wrote. There is Human Algorithm, and there is Arise, which is like a prequel, technically, to Ghost in the Shell. And the art style is wildly different between mm-hmm. them. It would still be a weird one to start with Human Algorithm, because you're not going to know what the hell is happening for most of it.
Well, that's a good point. Let's talk about that for a second, because we're talking with Yuki Yoshimoto as mm-hmm. the artist and a completely different writer.
Yep.
But he's not that completely different because he actually wrote Standalone Complex. He was a writer on Standalone Complex.
That's right, he was.
So I will let's actually, I think this manga owes as much to the anime, if not more to the anime, than it does to the mangas, Shiro Masamune's mangas.
I feel like I
they took the building blocks, the idea, but they took, Junichi's, his intrigue, his pacing, his style
mm-hmm.
is very much there. But you know what I love that he's done, that he was able to do?
What?
Was probably able to do it in the anime, because it's just anime versus manga. He's able to get those funny bits, those little side
yes. moments. Yes, he is, especially kinda, the gag faces. I feel faces. Like kind of
miss. There is a great moment that I will tell everybody to go pick up this book, just probably for this one moment, if you're an Ghost in the Shell fan and you've not picked this up. This should tell you. There's a moment where Azuma is left by himself. and Bato shows back up, and Ozma and Bato are down where it's really hot. Mm-hmm. So they're like sweltering. And so Ozma's kind of gone crazy with the heat. He's stripped off all his clothes and he's got like a little man bikini on, and he's put like beer bottle caps on his eyes, and he's like, mm-hmm. "Behold, it is I, Bato." And that is such a great, like, sticky moment of him walking in on that. It's just like, "Oh!" And you get these hilarious moments that's just not in the anime.
I think the two that always got me, and I can't remember if this is volume one or two, but so Bato is. Has to go find Ishikawa, in who's another member of Section 9. He has to go down to, I think it's Okinawa. And yep. So Ishikawa is undercover and using the body of like a, I want to say a high school.
It is a high school girl. It is a teenage high school. All right. So she's in the sailor out, like the schoolgirl outfit, no less. But and the samurai sword, which is just,
genius. I love it so much, but I think the funniest part was, so there's a reveal, so Ishikawa has to show Bato who he actually is, and so digitally, the face of the teenage girl gets covered over by Ishikawa, but the rest of the body is still the high school girl, and it is one of the most bizarre panels in this manga.
This is the bearded, bushy-haired man on top of this little, like, Sailor Moon-looking girl.
Yes, but just like you said, I think the manga is able to incorporate that comedic element, excuse me, from the original Ghost in the Shell manga. And I just love it. I mean, I think it comes out the most, basically, anything Tsunagi's involved in.
So that is definitely one way that's... like the manga, but in a way that it's more like the anime, is the pacing and the framing. Mm-hmm. So
it's a very quick pace, but not rush.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to cycle back to that because mm-hmm. I do want to touch on that real quick about pace. Okay. It owes it to a lot to. It leans real heavy into the procedural cop drama in this one.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Where so like the TV show, I think, even takes the manga. Because even with the manga, it's more like Dragnet, where you're only following one. I don't know, that just dated myself. It's like a old...
like Law and Order or something.
Law and Order, where you're not following multiple people. You're only following the detective.
Usually. Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, and then you follow the lawyers. With this one, you get everybody splits up. You get people going in different directions. You've got Saito on a rooftop. You've got Ozma and Bato down on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You've got... Tsunagi and Togusa up in the cold, up where it's wintertime. So you get all of these different biomes. And so that's I think a byproduct of the TV show, because the TV show had a bigger budget.
Mm-hmm.
So they could get more like location shots. They got to draw these things. So it takes forever. So
It's really, I think that is an excellent point. It takes, it really does ramp up a lot of the, we can go show you the rest of the world. Like this actually, it gets even bigger than this mm-hmm. in volume four. I won't ruin that for you now, but just the fact that everybody is so in different places, some of their parts of their cases are kind of connected, but I like that it's showing that Section 9 is... they have a lot of different irons in the fire. There are a lot of mm-hmm. different things they have to deal with. That's why you don't always see everyone. I think, Saito, the sniper, comes in towards the end of volume one, and it's because he's mm-hmm. been off doing other things. And it's just like, exactly. Yeah, this makes perfect sense.
Which I think it directly comes from a plot in one of the standalone complexes, I think, where Ishikawa comes back. I was off on the continent doing stuff, and I'm just mm-hmm. getting back from doing that. So it's like, it feels like a bigger organization, and this one you get, it's more about Section 9. Like 1.5 was very much about Section 9. The first one was the story of Major Kusanagi and her exploits with Section 9. The second one was 1.5 is Section 9. This takes that and just carries that and lets it go. And
Yes, it does.
And it stops, I would say even stops necessarily being specifically about Section 9 and starts becoming about the world. Because you mentioned world building. This one does such a good job of taking you to different locations. Mm-hmm. You see like the Chinese mafia comes into play with this one. I feel like that was was in the TV show. That was the one where there was a scene where I think it's actually called Yen. That was a really good episode where the girl has a gun in her arm that shoots money.
Oh, so, I mean, yes, that was a good episode.
You get those kinds of world building from the, I don't know, it just, this feels like it's a good smoothie of all things that are Ghost in the Shell. It's and I think it's a testament to how much Ghost in the Shell is loved, is that it's been sitting in the zeitgeist and this kind of just, here you go. We need to, you need more of this. So, thank you, Junichi.
I think Junichi.
Junichi. There we go.
For me though, I think one of the things that really speaks to me or speaks highly about this manga is what it does with the story. So it is taking that same procedural aspect, but it's, whereas Ghost in the Shell to me seemed it worked more, each chapter is kind of episodic, whereas with The Human Algorithm, it is very clearly, I don't know if there's going to be like some huge overarching arc that goes through the entire run, but I like the fact that it's a like we said, volumes 1 through 3 is a specific arc where they're dealing with a specific problem that's tangentially related to the major showing back up. But the fact is, it builds out so much else about the world. You learn about a random cult that's never come up before. You learn a lot about the channel
and the psychics. Not just a cult that specifically has to live in the world of Ghost in the Shell, because it is that is directly related to the abolishment of prosthesis and getting rid of prosthetic bodies and embracing the spiritual aspect. Very much what I love about how it's an action and military sim, but I really love that it's a philosophy. And this one picks up the ball. They definitely, like, people love a good story about philosophy.
And it doesn't feel out of place when it goes into the kind of musing aspects. Sometimes I think a piece of work can suffer from trying to mesh those things together. And I think I think the first Ghost in the Shell does it all right. I think two, I felt, did a little better job of it. I mean, I got lost in parts of it. We can go into that later.
Oh, yeah, but we will be going into that later. That's a heady read.
I really think that Human Algorithm does a very good mix of the two, where the action is excellent, the quiet moments are great, the philosophical musing about what does it mean to be a person, what does it mean if I'm changing all of these things. Like, I think it does a great job of Togus's ongoing conflict about, should I actually keep my body or should I get
more prosthetics? And again, it's another situation where he's getting the snot beat out of
God,
him.
God, he gets that.
He's almost dead. He's almost dead. I thought, oh my god, Togus.
I thought everyone was, except for Bato, was gonna die at the end of volume 3. I really thought that was gonna happen. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they definitely leave Bato in the deep, don't they? That was a weird that was a weird time. I like that. Definitely goes off on its own with each one of them. Oh,
and can we just give a shout out to yet another, let's fight a giant goddamn tank.
Bato gets his own tank grunt.
I love it.
Couldn't open it. My arms.
I don't care how many times I see one of them fight a tank, and I'm always up for it. It's like Ghost in the Shell staple right there. Thank you.
Just goes to show you that the Major and Bato are walking tanks. Like, we should fear them.
Yes, 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 yes. Absolutely. They are terrifying, and thank goodness they are. Well, Bato's pretty much a force for good. The Major is, I'd say, like, maybe chaotic good.
I was going to say, she's chaotic neutral. That's how I play when I play RPGs, man. I love me some chaotic neutral.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Is that Trump? Is that an image of Trump in this? There's a politician that gets smacked with a can of Coke.
And I swear think it is. Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it makes perfect sense being 2020.
I thought that was a good little Easter egg for us.
Just like, side of the ties, side of the ties. Okay, so one, this is a very minor thing, but we mentioned early on that there's an assassination attempt that basically opens up this manga. And how the story progresses is the victim is this mayoral, like Tokyo mayoral candidate, who also turns out to have a sister. And the minute they
who has a brother who is an evil twin, and then there's this, and then like, the guy's dad. It does get a little soap opery. My wife has been really into Dynasty, and that definitely attracts.
Yeah, I think that was the only part where I was just saying this, like, feel like somebody just, I feel this was kind of demanded to say, okay, do this, add this in here. It's like, all right, sure.
Well, it is, they really are, I'm some of these can get very soap opera for men. Dragon Ball Z for me was very soap opera for men.
Oh, yeah, Vegeta's ongoing angst at losing to Goku constantly? Hell yes it is.
Gosh, that show, I just got to the point where I was like, okay, this is still going. This beef is going to go. All right, now, the bad guy from his youth is now training his son. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Soap opera, baby. Let's sell some soap.
Oh, and don't forget that that same former villain is now training the son, the daughter of the son of the of his first rival.
Oh, man. There's a lot going on with this plot. It does get a little, okay, I need a flow chart. And then there's like the guy that, so there's a company and corporations and there's a religion.
It's like Osaki heavy industries or something.
And now Togusa has to download from an old fashioned timey computer.
Oh my god, that was
what
hilarious.
What is going on in this book? So it's definitely that cyberpunk aesthetic that I love so much doesn't leave it, though we still have the invisible cloaks and stuff like that. I don't know. I love the technology.
Yeah, I do too. And I think one of my favorite aspects of this manga is it really does a good job of incorporating some of that cool technology from Standalone Complex. Because I think there are at least, okay, I think it's like one episode in both seasons where there is a heavily armed, like, army team that comes in with full-on cloaks like that. Or actually, no, yep. Wait, Section 9 has them in the anime too. What am I thinking? But
they're the Americans. But yeah, I know you're talking about when they have that kind of situation.
But
the American Marines show up. Mm-hmm. I also, the opening scene of this one is the assassination attempt. In Laughing Man, I think it's Laughing Man, they have a situation where a politician is threatened for an assassination.
And
it's very different, but it's similar pace and feel. Like, wow, didn't I see this and that? No, it's different, but it feels similar.
You know, one neat aspect I enjoyed. So in the part of the story that follows Togusa and Tsunagi, who is like the newer recruit and also a psychic, is that there's a dead zone. Like as far as technology and like their link with the internet is down up in like wherever they are in Hokkaido, I want to say. And I just really like that aspect because it doesn't come up often that someone in the Ghost in the Shell universe cannot connect to the net. And I
think
just
she's
love
like
it.
Togusa, isn't she? And that she is also.
Yeah, she has no cybernetics whatsoever, because apparently if you do that, it screws up your abilities.
Yeah, she has a psychic ability, so all she has is a the neural link, like Elon Musk has made.
Oh my God. Oh, I just remembered this. Where because she only has that, she can't communicate in like the virtual meeting room. She has to she's on a time delay.
And she's a penguin, so she always misses little jokes. I love those moments.
Hey, going back to the comedy elements.
goes back to the tech design. That's just something because we've got a writer and an artist, whereas before it was a writer artist at the same time. So any tech he drew was coming from him. But when there's tech and there's like design of the tech, I wonder how much like of that is on the art director, or if that actually comes straight from the story writer. Or does he, I wonder, I don't know.
You know what, with this, I got to imagine the writer has access to either the storyboards or people with the storyboards from the anime. So I got to feel there was a conversation where it says, hey, I have ideas for this. How can we tweak this? But I want to bring this over. Like the soldiers with the cloaking technology, they don't look just like the Marines you were talking about. But they have that kind of similar element. There's the kind of the mask they wear or the whole body suits they wear, how the cloaking looks or invisibility cloaking looks in the forest in the winter. I think it was that kind of conversation.
Yeah, I see that. There was a great moment where you get to see a close up of Saito's eye. I've always thought Saito's sniper eye is so cool.
And it's so cool.
What a brilliant design to have your sniper be one-eyed, but his fake eye is the special one that he uses to tap into satellites and
so much. And I also love that I don't think it's just the major that figures this out, but how the people, when someone can beat him. Because it's established early on that Saito is very good at his job.
So, speaking of Saito, these augmentations, these prosthesis, this is all voluntary. Like, they had a perfectly good eye, and they replaced that perfectly good eye, like, on military orders. The logistics of some of this stuff. It never gets covered properly. Maybe not properly, but it is to my satisfaction. I want to know more. I want to know more about how this goes down.
With the major,
it's covered because she was in an accident as a kid.
Mm-hmm. The only one that I know for certain is Bato, because the body and the eyes were because he was a ranger, like self-defense force ranger for the Japanese army. And that's the reason. I could not tell you why Saito decides to do that, because you could go the standalone complex route and say the major was the one that injured the eye and he got it, but that's, you don't know if that's a lie. Also, that's not necessarily the same continuity.
Exactly. These too many questions that I am not going to get an answer to.
No, you're not.
I get to have my own headcanon. No.
Okay, so actually on that, what is your headcanon real quick about how he got that eye?
I think he traded it voluntarily. I think he was a sniper and he wanted to be a better sniper.
I can see that.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, because these are all like the pro athletes of military men and women.
That's a good way to put it.
So like they're at the top of the game. They are like super spy level guys. So guys and gals. So I think that they voluntarily want to. But again, with the exception of the major, because I don't think she had a choice.
I could see that. But, okay, so I think this is the last big thing I wanted to ask you about, was having read these first three volumes of it, what is your opinion of this story as an addition to the Ghost in the Shell franchise? Like, what do you think of it?
I think it's the new direction.
Mm.
I think it is where we'll get new story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a good thing. I've always been okay with other people because of the first movie. I've been okay with other people like picking up the ball and running with it more than I would maybe be with other artists or IPs. But I like this one. They very much like Shiro Masamune's ideas. And they never, I don't feel like they ever leave him. At the end of volume three, we get to see the robots again. The AI robots that the Major employs.
And that's just a really great,
it's a really great homage to like, this is, we're going to go off on our own direction, but you can, this is not gone. We have not burned this bridge. This does exist in the universe of those other mangas. This is part of the continuity. Even if you think it's muddy or not, the human algorithm, more so than the anime, it fits into it. It slots in. You can happily read this, and I don't think it breaks continuity.
I think so, too. It's so interesting that it feels like it is standalone complex adapted for the manga. I know that's silly because we are talking about a manga, but that's what it almost felt like, and not in a bad
way. I think they
way.
Did that, by the way. I think there is a... I think it's a novelization, maybe.
Huh. Okay.
Of standalone complex. I don't quote me on that.
I'm quoting time stamps.
I mean, I guess anything I say on the record is quotable. Don't hold me to it. I don't know.
I gotta echo your opinion. I really like this direction they're taking it. I think you'll really enjoy volume four. I'm very
I think
curious.
I'm gonna order it tomorrow. Yesterday was my birthday, so I'm gonna spend some of my birthday money.
Ooh,
get
fancy.
Volume four.
Get treat yourself, son.
Treat
yourself.
Treat myself. Well, no, it'll be somebody else treating me. It's the birthday money that
it still counts. Treat yourself. Do what you want.
And that's what they gave me the power to do. But while we've got just a few more seconds, there is one other little thing that I really liked about this one. And I love it when comic book creators find novelty. There is a moment where the Chinese mafia is talking to somebody else in a virtual space, and they impose the English on top of the Chinese characters in the back.
Oh yeah.
It's a little small thing that I loved about it that I want to share with you because we got a few seconds left.
There is
that I did love that moment.
I love that
cool
too.
Novelty. It's neat to say new things here in 2024, the year of our lords
and dragons. Apparently,
yes, exactly. It is the year of the dragon, isn't it? I don't know.
It is.
My wife is very much into that. She's like, "Why do you not know that?" I'm sure I'm going to hear that later. Why do you not know that?
Just well, it is. Now you know. But, okay, so before we wrap up, Adam, this was another good episode on Ghost of the Shell. We got one more in the pipeline. Adam, do you happen to have any words of wisdom for our wonderful listeners to take home with them? Other than, you know, they're taking their cyber brain.
As you said, treat yourself. That's my words of wisdom this week. Treat yourself.
You heard it here, folks. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.